Welcome back to Binge Tested, a Ghostbusters podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Harsh. One of the things that makes this community so unique isn't just the incredible props or the screen-accurate builds, it's the people behind them. Every uniform tells a story. Every proton pack has its own personality. Every patch on a flight suit represents friendships, late nights in the workshop, conventions, charity events, and countless hours spent building something you're proud to wear. Today's guest found a way to celebrate all of that. Luke Ellis, better known as the Green-Haired Ghostbuster, created the Ghostbusters Community Trading Card Project, a worldwide effort that's bringing builders, collectors, franchises, and fans together one card at a time. But behind those trading cards is someone who's just as passionate about prop building, cosplay, and what makes his hobby so special. Today we're talking about where the project began, what he's learned from meeting Ghostbusters all around the world, his own builds, and why sometimes the greatest thing you can create isn't a prop at all, it's a connection. Let's get into it. This is Binge Tested. The Green-Haired Ghostbuster, my man, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
All good, thanks. Thank you so much for having me on, and thank you for taking time early in your day to accommodate a time difference.
There is definitely a time difference. You're like, what, 7 hours ahead? So it's not too late there, but you're still in daylight, right? So
Yeah. I mean, a full day of work, and then came home, had some dinner, and here we go. Podcast.
Perfect. That's what I'm talking about. I love that. Now, you are the brains behind the Ghostbusters Community Trading Card Project. And I want to get into that, but where did that original idea come from? Was there a moment where you thought this could actually be something bigger than just a fun side project?
Yeah, kind of. Trading cards, trading cards have been around forever.
Right.
Even just like in England, a lot of people will trade football stickers, collect them. We had Pogs in the 90s, and for a while, I'd just been thinking, why aren't Ghostbusters doing trading cards? And I mocked one up 2024. I was just like, that'd be cool. And nothing really happened. And I was in a group at the time, and I said, hey, do you want this? And it's like, oh, I don't know. It kind of just fell by the wayside. And then I was sort of in a situation where I was a solo buster again. And I was thinking, it's a bit expensive trading patches.
Yeah.
What else could I do? I can't just drop, 250 quid on a patch order.
Right.
And hope people trade. I was like, what can I do? And I was like, well, everyone has business cards. Why don't I just pick up the trading card, do a trading card, see how that goes, and then ask if anyone wants one. And I spoke to a few friends in the community who were busting. They said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Yeah, we'll have one. And I did my first one for a guy called David Isaac. He's Duray Egon in the UK.
His leather goods. Yeah.
Yes. He is the leather master. Except no imitations, is what I say. Like, his fobs are outstanding. His belt fobs can hold a Max Factory aluminium wand, no trouble. I love him.
That is awesome. Yeah, no, his stuff is great. In fact, I got what do I have? I have the one for the Motorola.
Yes.
And then I have the fobs, and then I have one for, and it's something I never thought I'd ever get, but it's the sound meter that they use in Ghostbusters 2.
Yes.
I got that, and then I found the sound meter on eBay again for like just, $10. But it's cool. I love that. Yeah, he does a great job with his goods.
And he does custom stuff. And going back to those leather goods, we'll pick up on that later.
Yeah.
Because it is card related. He had one, and my friend Marty, the Loch Ness Ghostbuster, one of them, some other solo busters from Northern Ireland, like Kieran the Ghostbuster, my friend Lucy, she wanted one, and then some groups in the UK, like Berkshire Busters, Southend-on-Sea, they all kind of were like, yeah, this sounds like a good idea. But David just posted his straight away, before he even thought about launching it as like a community thing. And it just kind of exploded then. Everyone started asking for them. So I was like, yeah, cool, let's do it. And then before I knew it, I hit 20 within like a couple of days. And I said to my partner, who's the pink Ghostbuster, she was like, what's the set then? How many do you think you'll cap it at? And I was like, well, I'll be lucky to hit 30. And then hit 30. Then I hit 50. then 100, and just kind of rolled and rolled and rolled.
And it just kept going.
Yeah, and it just came out of an idea of, like, this is how I'm going to make some friends and feel a little less alone out there.
Yeah.
Without having to pay loads of money for patches. And, like, it's pretty, I mean, you know, it's pretty cheap to get these cards made.
Yeah. I think I ended up getting, like, 250 that I just placed the order for. It was, like, 250 for just, like, 30, 40 bucks. Like,
yeah.
It's not bad at all.
No, and the more, the bigger the quantity, the cheaper it is. Like,
yeah.
So I did 250 to start with, and they went instantly. So I did 500, they went. And now I've got 1,000, and I paid like £45, which is, what, about $60 your end, I think?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, and it's like, well, I still haven't hit that amount of the money I've spent. It's still not amount for a, you know, a first order of patches.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm, you know, and it's great. It's great fun. And then the idea was, like, no money. So I'm not printing for people. They print it themselves. I don't charge. So it's just, it just brings that positive energy without, you know how it can go a bit awry when money gets involved.
And yeah.
Where does the money go? And then it becomes a business because you've then got to offer it within a certain amount of time. And it just, yeah, it just goes a bit mad. So I just feel, I love Ghostbusters. I love the community. It's not hard to do these things. Let me do it for free. And I get to make some friends. And other people get to make friends. That's the big thing for me. Especially now. It's not about me making friends. It's about other people making friends.
You know?
Seeing guys and gals who are just starting out. And they're like, hey, can I have a card? I'm not. And they're like, they always caveat with, like, you know, I'm sorry. I'm not like a big deal in the community. I'm not like a, you know, popular Ghostbuster. Like, no. That is important. You need a card because you need to connect. You know, you need to feel not alone. So you need a card. And that's kind of what it's all about, you know, us all coming together.
Yeah.
And just being friends and having a good time and put faces behind these Mooglies we see all over the internet.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, that is something that I think is fun. And I think what you were able to accomplish in this project is, you know, definitely bringing the faces out from behind the patch. And, you know, that's fun to do. Now, when you designed those first cards, what were you trying to capture? Like, where were you thinking this would go? Like, were you thinking like baseball cards, movie collectibles, or something completely different?
Well, I like ice hockey, and I was just kind of thinking ice hockey cards are pretty good. You get to know the player, you know, you get to know the stats.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know? So you can get your favorite player, you know. It's not so much about getting the set, but you can get your favorite player or get your friends, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, that sort of idea. And I thought, well, if, you know, people don't have to get the full set, but it would be nice. You know, that's the key is making it accessible. But I would just, it was more so just the fun aspect and the making friends. So the fact that everyone has their own unique number on their card, I think is quite nice because instantly there's a sense of ownership.
Yeah.
And everyone could be invested in their own card. And I've, you know, going into it, I've always said, you know, your card isn't your card. And that's it. You know, you come back to me next year when you've got your new Magnolia suit and new photos, I'll do you another card, you know?
Yeah.
And it becomes your own little subset then. Like some guys have got chase cards where they'll do like they'll do another card with the same number, but they'll hand it out at like special events, you know? So they'll have them in their usual khaki gear and then they'll have one in, you know, GB2, but they'll hand that out at Christmas.
Oh, you know? Yeah, with their, you know, red hats on. And, yeah. Yeah. No, that's good.
So, or, you know, just like little variants, which is cool. And it becomes their own little set then, you know, even though it's the same number, it's our own set, so they can say, okay, my set is these five cards, and you know that because I'm number 286 or whatever, you know.
No, I love that. You know, that makes me feel good because now that I've got the red parka,
there you go,
you know, hey, I got something, you know, for the winner. Yeah. Set that's yeah. Awesome.
And it doesn't just stop at, you know, the khaki background on the logo side, that can change. So GB2 ones ought to be the charcoal. Or if you're an engineer, it'd be black. You know, I've got a Blues Busters one. So
that's cool.
Yeah, so it's you know, the hat shades. Suit tie, basically just ripped off you know, Baby Belushi, his style.
That is so cool.
He's done it so well. So I was like, oh, I'll do that. And then I did a card with my mate who did the same thing. And yeah, so you just change the colorways. So that'd be fun. So with, yeah, with the red coat, you can do a red background with your logo, black logo or whatever variants, you know, do it your way.
Yeah.
Just because I think, it, you know, that adds to it. Like there's other people who've done their own thing, like the you know, there's a Fallout Ghostbuster guy, you know, Vault 84, he calls himself. So he has a blue Fallout flight suit with the yellow piping and a Fallout style proton pack. So his card can't be khaki, can it, or red. It has to be the Fallout colors, you know?
Yeah, the yellow and the black.
The blue.
The blue, yeah, and the, yeah. Yes.
So it, I feel there is a uniformed look to these cards, but there is room for the little sort of deviations here and there to make it unique to the player.
No, I love that. You know, and that's the thing, is that every card has its own personality. How much work goes into helping someone, you know, create a card that represents both them and, you know, maybe their franchise or what have you?
Yeah, so it's not too bad. You know, just it all starts with messaging me. We'll have a little chat. Well, like we did. I mean, it was quite brief, I think. I think I kind of, you kind of knew what you wanted straight off the bat, I think.
Yeah.
Or some people don't really know. And they have more questions than sort of they know the answers to. So it's really just finding, you know, having a chat, finding out, and then I just tell them what they need to send. So whether or not it's an individual who's saying, I want one for myself, or if they want one for that group, or if they want one for themselves and their group, or their, you know, we kind of work out the logistics of it. And I try and ask people that, you know, if you're wanting multiple members of your group to have cards, don't make them come through you to me. Get them to reach out, because I do feel it is very important that everyone feels involved in their own card and have that ownership and have that connection to say, hey, can I change this, or can we look at this, or have you thought of this? So
I love that.
I'm very keen for that, because I know sometimes it can get lost when you have one person sort of organizing cards for sort of 8 people or 5 people.
Yeah.
I do feel it's important that everybody gets their voice heard. And yeah, and they just send me the details and the images and the logos. I will then create their card. At the moment, the lead time's quite long because I'm struggling with a bit of a backlog, but I'm doing my best to try and turn it around in 2 weeks, probably more like 3 weeks at the moment.
Yeah, just, I was going to say, is how many people do you have in queue right now, would you say?
Probably about 40.
Jeez.
And I've got like a bunch of messages I need to reply to. So yeah, apologies for anyone who's waiting on a reply. I'm doing my best.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that's you know, all you can do. I mean, you're one person, you're knocking it all out, and you know, you're doing this, as you know, on the side, and to create something awesome for the community. And speaking of the community, that's something that I wanted to ask you is, you know, now that you've worked with Ghostbusters from all over the world, what have you learned about the community that surprised you the most through this project?
Just how quick everyone is to be supportive of each other, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, so cool. You know, every community has like that 2% that's a bit shady and a bit dodgy. We've all seen it.
Yep.
But I think, you know, the vast majority is quick to be like, hey, I'm so-and-so, let's be friends, you know? And I think that's what I love about Ghostbusters. And that's what I love about the community. And that's why I want to give my all to the community, because they're so giving to everybody else, you know?
That's so cool.
The community is only as good as its members. And I, you know, we're all here for a good time. So
yeah.
And that's the key. So yeah, that's the thing I've learned, is that, yeah. The vast majority is just so willing to help and so selfless as well. And that's another key reason why it was very much I could never ask for any money for this project, you know, because it is so, I think it needs to represent the community, and the community is selfless.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that's so cool that you were able to pick that up and to know that is out there, because yeah, you do, you have a lot of these fandoms that are that are big, and you know, people do. They get a little you know, a little too high on themselves sometimes, and yeah, things can kind of go awry. But aside from that, you know, you do have the vast majority of people who are giving and loving and caring and want to, you know, play a role and help other people out and just, you know, build it up, which I think
exactly.
is great.
And I think that's with this project, it's not about me. It's about everybody involved. Every single person is just as important as the other person.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. It's not about me. It's about the people trading and making friends. That's the sort of the triumph here. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And the other cool thing too about this is that, you know, these cards, they're a conversation starter, right? I mean, they're naturally going to lead people into these conversations about uniforms or props or patches and gear, you know. And have you found the project helping connect builders, you know, who otherwise may never have met?
Yeah, definitely. Do you know what? I was thinking about this the other day. I've got a couple of friends I've met through this project who I didn't even know before starting it. A guy, Doug from Ghostbusters Angus in Scotland, and a guy called Dan. He's sort of in the Midlands, sorry, down south in England. And I never met them before, but now, like, we're back and forth about pack mods, gear mods, or, you know, thinking of picking up this, what your experiences with it, you know, or do you know anyone who sells, you know, this kind of cable, you know, it's that sort of, I wouldn't have just messaged them out of the blue before this project, but because I know them and they know me, it's very much like just that it opens the gateways for advice and help and almost reassurance as well.
That's so cool.
You know, you're sat there and you're like, look, I've got this drill bit. I think this is the right one. my gut tells me it's right, but my kind of paranoia says no.
Yeah, my eye's telling me no, but my gut is saying yeah, for sure, that's right.
And then you have someone will be like, I did that, yeah, just drill
just drill, just see, yeah. see what comes out at the other end, and if it matches up, then you got a winner.
Yeah. And like the big thing I've learned, this has nothing to do with cars, but just in modding in general, is that you should never be afraid, because it's a proton pack. There's a million people out there with replacement parts.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's all fixable.
That's true. That is true. You know, and speaking of these builds, you know, I did want to shift gears a little bit. Your own gear has evolved over the years.
Yes.
What's changed the most about the way that you build today compared to, say, your first proton pack?
I suppose the big, it's at the beginning, it was like, overwhelmed. It has to be great off the bat. It has to be the best straight away.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. It's all baby steps. It's all, you know, little bits at a time. Like my first proton pack was the Kenner pack as a kid, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, as a kid, I was always a bit bitter that it wasn't black and it wasn't the movie one, you know.
Yeah. Instead, I think what did we get? It was the blue one, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. So then when the Spengler wand came out, I was like, hooray, this is great. Picked one up. And it was like, I wish I had a pack for this.
Yep.
So I kind of made a crappy pack out of cardboard boxes to go with it for Halloween. Ended up giving it to my nephew to use because I was like, that's not a real proton pack. And then I start, you know, you start looking at the wand and you're just like, oh, if I change that, that will make it a little bit more authentic. Or if I change this, or if I change that, give it a go. I'll get new labels. And then before you know it, I'm thinking, right, it's time to buy a shell, build a pack.
Yep.
And then you kind of redo all the research, know where I'm getting all my pieces and stuff. And then HasLab announced their Spengler pack. And you're like, that's the cost of a shell. And I just get a pack with everything. Great.
Yeah.
Do it. Oh, go away here.
Damn it, the wait time. Yeah. Why?
But you waited a year, and literally as soon as that thing arrived and it was out of the box, like there is no need to mod that pack. It is outstanding.
Yeah.
Like, for the price, it is just like, holy crap, that is amazing. But what did I do after half an hour of it being out of the box?
Yep.
Modded it. I put the correct yellow sheath on that weird cable that's the Spengler pack.
Oh, did you really? The cover on it. Yeah.
Yeah. First thing I did. And then I was like, oh, maybe I could weather it a bit. You know, do this. And, you know, before you know it, you just start doing micro adjustments more and more. To the point where I call my pack now the Woz Lab.
Because it's not it no more.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, everyone's like, are you ordering the 84 pack? I'm like, no, because I spent so much bloody money turning my Spengler pack into the 84 pack.
Yeah.
Why would I buy another one to do the same?
And you had a lot of people say, oh, they'll never come up with an 84 pack. They just won't, you know? Like, and what do they do?
Yeah.
They come up with an 84 pack.
The money was too good for them, wasn't it? They couldn't resist.
Then in the same logic, which makes no sense to me, but they did not release another wand.
Yeah, well, I think the language is being construed wrong on that. I mean, this is a theory that's probably gonna age really badly.
Okay, let's hear it.
But my theory is, everyone keeps asking Hasbro, are you gonna reissue the 84 wand? Right?
Yeah.
And Hasbro are like, no, we're not gonna reissue the 84 wand. Because what have they done with the 84 pack, right? The electronics in it is different. It functions differently than the Spengler pack. So if they've had a chance to change the way that works, they can then change the way a potential third wand could work, right?
True.
So it could do different things between the pack and the wand. So why would they reissue the 84 wand when they can release a deluxe 84 wand that'll work well with the pack?
Okay.
So when they're saying we're not reissuing is not a lie, because they could be releasing something new. I mean, it's all theory. And in my head, that, like, if I was in the R&D of Hasbro doing this 84 pack, that's what I would be doing. You know, that's what I would be asking questions for and theorizing and trying to put it to practice, because why waste that money changing the electronics of an 84 pack, you know, that you're releasing, and you're like, no one's going to have wands with these, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. And I would hope that they would do something along those lines, because so many people out there got this with the thought that, oh, certainly there's, you know, they're going to either reissue it or they'll do another release of the wands and just we'll have those. But none of that has happened, at least as of yet. And you would think that maybe we would have heard a little something or some buzzing around that.
I'd like to think so. But I mean, you look at the numbers alone, the amount of wands out there to pack, right?
Yeah.
Again, like, I don't think there's enough wands to go around, and Hasbro know this.
They've got to.
So, like, again, money talks.
Right. Yeah, especially when they, what was it? Some folks were saying that they lost some money, or maybe not have had some, you know, as big as they could have on the HasLab, just because, you know, it is what it is. But, I mean, yeah, you would think that they want to recoup that. And I think the ones, man, that would have been a great move for them. So, yeah, hopefully they definitely have something in the pipeline. I'm hoping that maybe for, like, San Diego Comic-Con, they'll announce something there.
Because they've got the molds. They've got all the templates for the box designs. They just need to update them. Like, I mean, come on. Why they spent all that time R&Ding a better hose connection?
Right? Yeah, true.
Why bother? If you know there ain't gonna be enough wands to go around.
Yeah. That's 100% true. And I, you know, I need to reach out to them. Maybe I can get somebody on the show. Yeah. I'm gonna have to dig in and see what I can find and get somebody out there. Cause yeah, we need some news on that.
And dig in. Don't say about reissuing.
Yeah. I don't wanna reissue. Don't yeah. don't screw me around with that. Give me some hard details. That's what I need. Now, when you start a new build, are you someone who plans every detail first, or do you prefer to just kind of figure it out as you go?
I do a lot of my figuring out in that sort of funny moment. You know, when you get into bed and your head's on the pillow.
Yep.
The light's just gone off. You don't go to sleep. You sit there for an hour.
Yeah.
In my head, I run through of like, well, that'd be a cool idea. How would I do that? Okay. Great. And then I forget about it. And then the next night, I think about it a little bit more to the point where I actually order something for that project. And then
it arrives
real.
And you forget why you got it. That's happened to me.
Does it?
Yeah.
I'm more like, as soon as it arrives, I want to do it now. I want to do it now. I want to do it now. You know?
Yeah, no, and I'd totally do that if I could remember what I got it for. But, I think that definitely there is a lot of that with me for sure. And so, no, I totally get that. You know, you, especially like if I'm thinking about it, you know, while I'm laying in bed, what do? I pick up the phone and then I start Googling and then it just never ends. Then I get into a cycle. And the next thing you know, it's 4 a.m. I haven't had any sleep because I'm doing exactly that. I'm looking up all these parts that I probably shouldn't have been doing, but here I am.
Well, I mean, something simple, like I've got a Razer Colt phone. It's just a red telephone, but all the buttons play a different sound clip of Razer Colt. It rings.
That's cool.
That was one of those, like, just lie in bed, thinking about it. Next morning, oh, quite cheap, that phone. That's the phone I want. Okay, cool.
So did you put that together and solder all that? And
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Simple. It's just a red phone. I'd literally gutted it. I wonder if it's still got any batteries. Gutted it, but it will ring. I don't know if you can hear that.
That's cool.
So it'll play all through the receiver, and it's all different sound bites from all the movies. And I can even just make it ring nonstop.
That is so cool.
But it's simple. I'm not an electronics expert by any means. But I found like a little circuit board that you can load sound clips into. And it has like a little PCB that allows like audio files to be loaded to it. I think it has like up to like 90 megabytes. Not a lot. But I thought it doesn't need to be high fidelity for a phone. So I preloaded it, and then it was just a case of replacing the push buttons of the phone that could wire into the PCB,
mm-hmm.
and then the receiver that goes into it. But then I also have a loudspeaker for the ring. So what I did was I used the stereo outputs. The left goes to the receiver, the right goes to the loudspeaker.
Oh, okay.
So all ringtones go through the loudspeaker, all dialogue go through the receiver.
That is so cool. That is cool. Yeah, I need a video. I need a video of that phone in like being like you playing it and pressing the buttons and stuff. That's so sick.
Someone who's not very good at coding, that was perfect because I didn't know how to code. So I just knew, basically you just name your sound file a certain name for a certain button.
So yeah.
That's what I did. And I didn't need to program it to say, for this sound, go to this speaker, for that sound, go to that speaker. It was just right speaker, left speaker. You know?
That is so cool. Yeah. I mean, now let me ask this. So with the PCB, was it just kind of like a plug into your computer and drag and drop or?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was just, I can't remember what it was. It was just like this website just sold electronic parts. I saw it on them. It's like, oh, I could probably do something with that. Oh, I know what I could do with that.
And then so before you drag and drop those, you just put them into like an audio at like Audacity or something, split them up into left channel and right channel, whichever ones you wanted. Okay. Yeah. I see that. That's so neat. See, that's just that kind of out of the box thinking that is so much fun. And we were talking about this before we started the podcast earlier is that I love having Ghostbusters on in the background and just having the movies play and then coming up with the inspiration. Like that is the inspiration for me to just try to get out there. What was the inspiration for you on that project?
Just, you know, like I said before we start recording, I'm obsessed with Razer Colt. You know, I'm buying all the books, the, you know, magnifying glass, the the desk, the bell on the countertop, the candles, all sorts, recreating fires. And I just thought, well, you've got to have the phone.
Yeah.
You've got to have Ray talking on that phone, haven't you? Because when you see the phone on the desk, in the, you know, certainly the firehouse phone, you want to hear Janine. Where if you're hearing Ray's a call, you want to hear Ray. So I was thinking, how do I do that? And then the cheapness of the phone kind of led that project. And then when I found that PCB, I was like, well, yeah. And if, you know, certainly that's achievable for an idiot like me.
No, I mean, definitely not. You know, that's, I was just pulling it up while we were talking here. And yeah, you can get one of those phones, a Razer Cult phone, for $35.
Yeah,
on cheap. Amazon, and yeah, just got that, and yeah, just have some fun with it. That's cool. So I assume people could easily reach out to you if they had any questions, because it sounds like it's super fun to play with. Like, that's a fun little project to do.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of answers. I mean, just this PCB, and you know, most of the hard work is done for you because the place they bought it from gave you the instruction of what to load on it. You know,
that is so neat. Yeah, and you just kind of split it up between the two. Did you keep the speaker that was in the receiver, or the speaker that was in there, and you just kind of split it up that way? Okay.
Yeah, I just thought, well, you know, it's you want it to sound like a telephone, don't you?
Right.
That sort of crackliness. So you're like, yeah, why would I change it to high fidelity? There's no need, and it would just consume more battery.
Right.
Like, those speakers are running off a phone wire, which is very low voltage, so. Why not?
Yeah, you can't expect a whole lot coming out of that. So yeah, just keep it that natural sound. Yeah, that's so much fun.
Keeping it simple means less things can go wrong.
Man, yeah, that's true. That's true. And I was looking at this one. I'm like, this has like a little red light indicator on it.
That's not strictly screen accurate, but it's still.
That is. Cool. You're right. That's not screen accurate. However, that would be kind of neat.
Imagine that light. I mean, to be fair, like, I think that's more, that would look great on a firehouse desk, because, you know, firehouse, you want that blinking light. You know, if you're working on the Ecto and you see the light flashing on the phone, you know to pick that up.
Yep.
Yeah, no, you're right. Especially if you've got the radio
going. Yeah, no, for sure. That would be neat. Yeah, because you could pick that up. And actually, I did find the screen accurate phone. No lights. Just red.
Well, to be fair, like, none of them are screen accurate. This is where I get a bit silly, but the panel where the buttons are, that's supposed to be gray, but it's very hard to find that gray.
Is it really?
Yeah, supposed to be gray in Ghostbusters 2 is gray. But who cares, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, you know, really, honestly, see, I wouldn't have noticed that, so.
I'm just saying that to prevent anyone saying, no, it's not accurate.
Yeah. You know what, though? I could print something on the 3D printer and put it over that.
There you go.
You know?
Spray it gray.
Or spray it gray, yeah. And that's the thing I'm seeing on here. It looks like that little red piece, at least on this one, it comes off.
It does, yeah.
So, yeah, just spray that gray and put it on there. I think, yeah, that would be fun to do. See, you just gave me a project. Now I'm not going to have any other time on my hands other than focusing on this for the next
But it doesn't end that. You could do it for anything. You could turn it into a bat phone.
Oh, yeah, that would be, yeah, you could. You could definitely do that.
Anything.
Have Janine on the other end.
Well, to be fair, mine, I did run out of clips, and I was like, do you know what, on one of them they released a new voicemail for the phone number for the Ghostbusters when the game came out, you know, the video game.
Oh yeah, that's
and
right,
there's a Janine one, and she's sort of talking about you know, it's quite a long message. I just chucked it on the phone, so I was like, do you know what, yeah, you gotta have some Janine on there.
You got, yeah, I mean, come on, she's gonna be answering the phones, you gotta have some Janine.
Yeah.
That is so neat. Now, if somebody wanted to level up their Ghostbusters uniform, for example, without spending thousands of dollars, what's the one improvement that you think would be the biggest visual impact?
For me, I think, you know, it's something simple. Like, you know, I would say get a set of goggles, chuck them on your head. It looks really cool. Instantly you've got something different going on.
That's yeah.
But if you're looking for something like a replacement of something you've already got, and if it, again, it depends on who you're trying to impress, I suppose, you know. If you're trying to impress fellow Ghostbusters fanatics like us, I would say do your patches, get a different, again, get a more screen accurate Moogly patch.
Yeah.
But I would say the biggest important item is either your belt. A good belt goes a long way, because the more you hang off it, the more it drops. So the better the belt, the higher it stays.
Yeah, you need a stiff belt for all that stuff that's on, especially if you're going to have a trap and hang your wand off of it at some point. And yeah, for sure.
And for me, I have my Duray Egon's trading card holster that he custom designed for me.
Wait, what?
Laying that down. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, if you go to Duray Egon's website, the purveyor of all the best fobs in the land, he has a Greenhead Ghostbuster trading card holster. And yeah, it will fit a bunch of cards in there. So when you're at a con, you can just do your trades pretty simply from the comfort of your own utility belt.
Let's see here. Duray Egon. Holy crap. That looks awesome.
Yeah. And he'll do other colors from what I've heard.
You know, it is funny that you say that, because a friend of mine who you may know as well, and actually you probably do because you did a card for him, but Matt Baker.
Of course, Matt. Yeah.
Yeah, he has reached out to him and is going to have several things, I think, or maybe has already done that. But yeah, he's got some, you know, green and pink is his color, and yeah, definitely is come out with some really cool stuff.
Well, my other half, the pink Ghostbuster, jokingly said to him, those look great, but does it come in pink? And a couple of days later, he's like, yes, it does. He has the pink collection on his website now. So you can get a gizmo holder, PKE holder, all your fobs, all in pink.
That is so sick. That is so cool.
All thanks to the pink Ghostbuster. But yeah, he's great. I've seen yellow card pouches, blue card pouches, purple. Lots of people have gone different ways with it. But it's a handy little device.
Yeah, see, that's just the kind of stuff that you know, we need more of. And I love that. I'm going to have to place an order on that now and get some, put that in my on my belt. How many cards could you put in there?
I think you probably get, I think about 100, maybe 150.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking. Yeah. Man, that's bigger than I thought it was. Yeah, you could probably put a lot of cards in there.
Just as a kind of comparison, it's very much like the Motorola holster he does. A little bit deeper, not much, just a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, because I've got that. I see here, it looks like it's, it has kind of a stiff, is it stiff? Like it's being held up? It looks like there's some
He's put
Kydex in there.
Yeah, he's put like this card liner in it. And it's very rigid, really, really good. And he's
nice.
He includes a couple of dividers, I think. And that really helps, because the dividers, just an insight in how I trade when I'm out and about. I have my cards with a divider, and then anyone else I trade with, I put behind the divider so I can comfortably store new cards I've acquired, but also keep mine in there and not have to get confused or mix them up. So
that is so cool. Yeah. Yeah, you talk about needing something for a convention. This is it. This is the piece.
Yeah, we had something in the UK called Across the Streams. You might have heard of it. Biggest Ghostbuster meetup in the UK. And that was kind of when the project picked up a bit, I was like, oh, wouldn't it be awesome? This is, you know, Across the Streams, it'd be awesome if people had cards, they could make friends. Because I went to one previously, and it's quite intimidating when you see, like, a sea of Ghostbusters. And you see a lot of faces you see all the time on social media. And you think, whoa, look, that's so-and-so, you know, surrounded by people. And you just think, I can't go up to them and say hi. Whereas you got a trading card, you've got that.
That's your in.
Yeah.
Right there.
So, like, in my head, I'm like, oh, wouldn't it be awesome if people had them across the stream? And this year, Across the Stream, everyone had cards, and I was just like, this is absolutely insane. And I had this pouch, and I was able to trade, and just without having to mess around with a separate bag or whatever, it just worked really well. But going back to the fact that people were using it as a talking point, you know, it was amazing seeing a Ghostbuster walk up to another Ghostbuster and go, hey, I've got a training card, do you? Oh, yes, I do. Would you like to trade?
Yeah, that is so cool. Yeah, that's just another way to just get in and to just have fun and, yeah, just have a blast, man.
And through that, you start then talking about the gear, like the amount of, you know, you break that barrier of not knowing someone. Straight away, you can be like, oh, I've just noticed that's, you've done that to your pack. I want to do that. How did you do it? You know?
Yeah.
And you kind of just straight away become engrossed in someone else's advice.
Yeah, that's so neat, because you do, you really are able to get in, you're able to, not just look at them from afar and kind of see all the gear that they've got and what they've got on their belts and their packs and stuff like that. But yeah, it just opens the door up for you to really have that conversation that otherwise you may not have been able to before. And again, it's so much more different than having a conversation with that person online versus, you know, right there in person. You got your cards, and that's something really neat to be able to get into. But now let me ask you this. What is the coolest thing that you've seen out there that maybe you've received pictures for people to put on their cards or stuff? But as far as gear goes, what is something that just kind of caught you off guard that you're like, I wouldn't have thought about that?
I mean, it is a total cheat, but do you remember the Phoenix pack?
No, I don't. You catch me up on that. What am I missing?
I think it's the Phoenix pack. I'm going to quickly Google it, so don't. You've probably got a million people screaming out, you idiot, it's not the Phoenix pack, it's the blah, blah, blah pack. Well, this guy made a video game pack, and it did what the video game does, you know? It is the Phoenix pack. That's the
coolest from 2013. Hold on. Now I'm down a rabbit hole. So the Phoenix is a famous, heavily modded replica of the Proton Pack. So I have seen this. I didn't know that that's what it was called.
Yeah, the Phoenix.
That's incredible.
That is just, it's unreal. Like, you know?
Dude, I'm watching a video of it now. That is sick.
Like the way that the cyclotron lights pop out, like the video game pack, you know, all that stuff is just, you play that video game and you're like, I want that to happen to my pack.
Yeah.
You know? And the venting and yeah, just the way those lights pop out and the bumper comes up with the, you know, with the shock mount stuff.
It's dude. Just like, yeah, so see, cool. I know, like, man, see, it's the stuff that people come up with is just some of the neatest thing that you could ever imagine. And that's beyond me. Like, if somebody asked me how to do that, like, there's no way. Well, I already have a hard time with my servo motors and my trap. You're gonna ask me how to make cyclotron lenses pop out and vent? No way.
Well, you know, just going back to that baby step comment I made earlier, when I got my HasLab, I thought there's no way. I'd love it if it could change light colors. I'd love it if it could blast smoke out for a venting sequence, but there's no way that's ever going to happen because I haven't got the knowledge or the expertise to do that.
Yeah,
I can't. That's just never going to happen, you know. But I wish I could do that. I'm sitting here now, my pack can literally pump out smoke, change light colors. So it is achievable. You've just got to find your path.
Yeah. No, you're right. And you know? I think once you do that, yeah, it just opens the door for so much else. You know, that's one thing too, that we spend a lot of time here on the show talking about, like, functionality. Now, when you're building something, how do you balance movie accuracy with durability for, you know, trooping around in conventions and meetups and stuff like that?
Well, again, I'm a bit of a head case when it comes to it. That was my big problem with the HasLab. It was too light. I want my pack to be so heavy that my back hurts for 3 days after, you know, Layla, after wearing it. So screen accuracy usually means making it heavier.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that. The heavier the better.
Yeah.
So my WAS lab has a lot of metal on it now, but I still aspire to have more metal. So I'd love a metal bumper. I'd love a metal cyclotron lid. I'd love a metal shell. All of it would be amazing. But I'd rather it look screen accurate than it be metal for the sake of metal. So if someone said, here's a colander, it's metal, here's your cyclotron lid, I'd be like, nah, I'm right with the plastic, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Some things you just got to pass on.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
And that's okay.
Yeah, totally. Whereas, I've got the GP Star electronics in my kit.
Yep, so same here.
Whereas, yeah, so I'm going for, the 84 look. Obviously, the Quick Connect hose is not 84 looking, is it?
Right. Yeah.
I'd like to think, do you know what? I can live with that, because throwing the pack in the back of a car without the wand and hose connected is really convenient, you know?
Yeah. It honestly is, because it can be, because the last thing you want is, for that hose to get, cramped up and just looking all funky because it was leaning on it. And yeah, I definitely think, there are some things that the sacrifice is worth. And if you got to sacrifice just a little bit of authenticity just to make it more practical, I think makes a lot of sense. It's funny, because when you do wear these packs, and for people out there who have played like Ghostbuster Spirits Unleashed or anything like that, or even just watching the movie, for example, it does put it into a different perspective, and you're like, man, none of this is practical. There is no way that you could go bust a ghost. I mean, I'm sure you could, but man, would it be a pain in the ass. But it's a lot of fun, and that's why we're out there doing it.
Exactly. I mean, I love the challenge of having a heavy proton pack on and then throwing a trap,
Yeah.
You get on your knees, you throw your trap, and you have to stand up quickly.
Yep. Yeah. And that's when you're doing that with another 30 or so pounds on your back. Yeah. That's tough. And that's one thing I like about Matt's pack, is that he's got the all aluminum Ghostbusters pack. And what he's so done jealous. With that, I know. What he's done with that is just incredible. And man, is it neat. And he was telling me he was at New York Comic Con, and I think he was waiting in line for, I think it was 4 or 5 hours to meet Sigourney Weaver. And you talk about back pain.
Yeah.
It was incredible. Now, throughout the way, he had to take it off and set it down, and I totally don't blame him for that. No. But man, I could not imagine just to be able to show it off to Sigourney Weaver and be like, "Take a look at this, this is my all aluminum pack."
It's like that. You cannot beat it. I was very, very fortunate to own a thing that I never thought I'd own, and it's a Max Factory one.
That's my end goal. Is one of those? Yep.
I was just stupidly lucky. I turned 40 this year, and my parents gave me some money to say, look, go on a holiday or do something to the house, whatever. It's your 40th. Here's a chunk of money. You're never going to get this kind of money again.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. And my partner was like, buy that one, do you want? I was like, really? She's like, yeah. I'm like, I've ordered it. It's all done. here we go. But when it arrives, it is just next level. And the way, the touch, the way, just the mechanics of it, the way everything screws together, there's no glue, there's no, once you do this, you cannot go back. Unless there is. If you rivet the handle, the grips in, if you rivet them in, so screw them in.
Yeah.
Which is, riveting is screen accurate, screwing isn't. Look, I don't care that much. I'm gonna screw them in, because it would be nice to take them off if I ever had to, because I don't want to ruin the damn thing.
Yeah.
So everything screws together, everything has a function, the pop mech is just a work of art, and the feel, and I'm sure Matt's pack feels the same. When you lift that, I bet it just feels, or when you just touch it,
feeling that cold metal right there.
Yeah And it's just like, that is, in my head, that's what it's supposed to feel like. And it feels like it,
See, that's the cool thing. That's my end goal, too, is a Max Factory 1. I think having that, because I've got, I don't have the the HasLab, or, you know, I don't even have the 84 pack myself, but I've got the 3D printed pack, the Q pack, and, you know,
great files.
Yeah, great files. And what you can do with that is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And what they've been able to accomplish with that whole project has been great. And it's been awesome for the community. And I couldn't be more appreciative for it. And a lot of other people feel the same way, I'm sure. But yeah, no, it's great. And I think having something like that paired with it would be a great, great feeling nonetheless. But right now I've got it paired with the Hasbro one, which is perfectly fine, you know. And people out there who are, you know, looking for that screen accurate build, I think that's a good way to get pretty close to it.
The only issue I have with the Hasbro one is that don't take it apart too many times, because mine just started to really, the plastic was giving up on me. It was like, I'm done.
Yeah, that's one thing I try not to do, and for multiple reasons, but also it's a pain in the ass for the one. And, you know, there are so many other things, like even taking apart the pack. Like, one thing that I did notice, and this is my fault, the other day, I say the other day, it was probably a couple of weeks ago, I was showing it off to a friend, and I accidentally hit the vent function. Again, GP Star Electronics.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Look, it smokes. That's cool. It was doing it for about 6 to 8 seconds, which is what it does. It's a long time. You really shouldn't be venting that much.
No.
Then I pressed the damn button again.
Oh, no.
And it burned out. And so now I've got to take it apart and take that out and send it in to get fit. It's just a pain. But, you know, it's at the end of the day, it's fun. It's, you know, but yeah, you're right. You got to be careful not to take it apart so many times.
And that's, again, with the HasLab pack, anyone listening who has a HasLab pack, you've got like 19 screws to take that motherboard off. You know, that's just hard work.
What is it, 19?
19 screws, yeah.
Jeez.
So, I mean, mine has a proper aluminum motherboard now.
Yeah.
And that's 4 screws, and off it pops, you know, and then I can get into it. Great. I still, to this day, I'm like, oh, I've got to take the back off to update the software.
Yeah.
It's 4 screws. And then I think, oh, it used to be 19. Count yourself lucky.
Yeah. See, and that's the thing that I did when I was putting all this together, is I wanted to make sure that I had ports where I could plug in the USB cable and to update it that way. And so I'm very fortunate that in that process, I did just that. And I added the USB-C ports, and then I added a USB-C on the back for it goes for the attenuator, but for the Wi-Fi module is what I have in mind. And then I added the Rad is Lab piece for the Hasbro wand right there at the front cylinder that slides off, which is great. You know, it slides off and that gives you access to your SD card for your files with the GP Star kit, and then, you know, all that. So
have you got the V2 boards in yet?
No, that's next on my list. Next on my list. I want to get those in, just because of the functionality of what you can do with it is just phenomenal.
They're going to release a trap kit at some point that will interact with the pack.
Yep. Yep. Like, exactly. I know.
Even the Max Factory wand, right, has a place for the infrared sensor to go.
That's cool.
Yeah. Like, how amazing is that? There is a place in that wand, in the screen used wand, in one of the packs, a screw goes in there, but most of them, it doesn't. That's where the infrared sensor can go.
That is perfect.
Yeah.
See, it's those little things that people, you know, you may not think about it till it comes down time to mess with it and to play around and figure out fitments. And then, you know, you got that on the side. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah.
That you're able to do that.
The GP Star guys really thought it through as well for the Max Factory one.
Yep.
Everything has, they've created mounting system for the inside of the wand. And it all, again, screws in. There's no gluing. It just screws in. And I think that was the hardest part of the Max Factory one, was fitting the electronics in, because it is so precisely designed to fit in certain places. If you get it a millimeter out, that can throw everything off.
Jeez. Especially with it being all aluminum, I can imagine how that's kind of nerve-wracking if you go in and, you know, make adjustments, and then it turns out it's not right. It's not like you can put in some plastic filler or something like that. You know, that might kind of screw it up.
And the money you pay for it, you kind of feel like you've got to do it properly as well. You you can't half-ass it or bodge it.
Yeah. If there was really anything you needed to think through, it's doing any kind of mod to, you know, a one like that for sure.
Yeah, definitely. But, it, you know, just for to give you an idea of how well thought out this whole process is, the the aluminum side disc on the when you're holding the wand on the right hand side, that screws on, but that holds the pop mech sound trigger button. So that screws on and holds that in place. So when the pop mech comes in, it nudges the little switch.
Right.
It'll play the click sound. And then when you release it, it releases the switch and will play the release sound. So it's little thoughts like that, that it all kind of clicks in. It all has form and function. And I think that's one of the best things about that kit.
It's
just how well thought out it is.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, they did. They worked hard on all that, and especially with the hive mind, right? I mean, you have so many different people working on every different part of it that, definitely is helpful for sure. And that's the thing with Ghostbusters, like technology has changed so much over the last few years, you know, just in general. But like, you know, you look at like 3D printing or, you know, better electronics, lighting systems, AI assisted design. What tool or technology has changed your own building process for the most?
The internet.
Yeah,
for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I think YouTube and the internet is a big key. Certainly YouTube for, am I doing this right? You know?
Yeah.
Or, you know, Facebook groups, again, are probably the best thing. And that sort of instant access to a community of people who have done it the wrong way and who have done it the right way, or have had the same problems as you, you know? Like, that's the thing I've learned, is your problem is not unique. You're not the first person to experience this.
Yep.
You just need to connect with the person who's experienced it too.
Yeah.
And if you are, then, you know, if you are the first person to do this, you need to tell everybody, because you could save someone a lot of heartache by sharing your stupidity.
And you know what, though? It's not ever stupid if you learn from it.
Exactly.
It's just that you know, that little deviation that I think, you know, we just all kind of come across. Coming back to the trading card project, you know, you've created something that became much bigger than a collection of cards. What do you hope that people feel when they receive their own card for the first time? They place that order, they got the file from you, they place the order. What is it that you hope that they get from that?
I just want them to feel like that 8-year-old kid who, you know, got a new real Ghostbusters figure in the post or from the shop, and they're just like, yes, this is it. This is what I've always wanted. That excitement, that nostalgia, that kind of inner child to come alive.
Yeah.
I think that's the feeling I want. And that excitement of like, I can't wait to start trading and meeting people and building friends, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. That's something that for me, I know that when I get these, I'm going to feel so excited, and I'm going to have to go place my order for my card carrying case. That's so cool. I'm super excited about that. So glad you pointed me out in that direction. But yeah, no, it's super neat that, you know, I'm just imagining, like, when you talk about getting your own, like that Kenner toy or something in the mail. Yeah. For me, it's kind of like when I find a good deal on something on eBay that it's a Ghostbuster toy that I've been wanting to collect for, you know, having my collection for so long, and then it finally arrives, and then I'm able to display it, and you know, just that feeling is just like It's just so much fun to you know.
You like pick it up. Like, every time you walk past, you pick it up and look at it.
Yeah.
It's that sort of like, oh my God, this is so cool.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's exactly it. I mean, there are days where I go over to my pack on the wall and I'll just turn it on and bust a ghost here and there, you know, because
there are days every day.
Yeah, exactly. it's true. I mean, I literally have my suit hanging on my door in the room. So, yeah. You know, that way I want to see it. I want to be able to put it on, you know. With the time and the effort and the money that we all put into this hobby.
Come on. The real reason is because if there's a call, you want to get it on.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah.
And to me, that call is, you know, every couple of days or every day for that matter. No, it's a whole lot of fun. Are there any future projects or plans that you have going on that you're particularly excited about? You know, whether that's, you know, new card sets, events, collaborations, or any charity initiatives?
Yeah, I mean, I've just started a new group in the last few months with some solo busters. Not just me starting it. We all kind of collectively started it. We're called Ecto Squad. And sort of our idea is that we're the Avengers of Ghostbusters. It sounds more arrogant than it is, but it's we're not thinking we're the Avengers, but the concept is like the Avengers. So we're five solo busters, right? And we all go off and do our own little thing, but we come together as Ecto Squad, and as Ecto Squad, we can accomplish more. So we can raise more money for charity. So we support a charity called PIPS here in Northern Ireland, and it's a sort of suicide prevention charity. That's kind of been our sort of chosen choice, but we also work with other charities. We don't just try to pigeonhole ourselves. We will work with any charity going, but the idea is that we can come together and do more because we're a collective than we would do on our own.
That's so cool.
And the idea of it was like, we have a logo that is modular. So it's like a triangle, and it clicks into all of our individual logos. So we all have our own logo because we're solo busters. And rather than say, right, joining a group, you've got to relinquish your identity. No, that's actually important. You keep your identity. You build on it. So this logo clicks on the bottom. I'll have to show you an example. But yeah, it's kind of like, to people listening, if you are into World War II, if you can remember the US Armored Division's patch, it's like a triangle, like a pyramid. We've inverted it, so it's pointing downwards, and it has a slight curve, so the Moogly logo can kind of just sit on top.
Oh, okay.
Kind of, yeah, sort of click in.
That's neat. Yeah, yeah, I like that.
So we're sort of like like the Avengers of Ghostbusters. But we also work with other groups, so we have friends in Southern Ireland, Ghostbusters Ireland, and a group called the Cross Response Unit.
That's cool.
We sort of team up with them, and sort of just it's about not being all about us. It's more so bringing the smiles, bringing the happiness, and making friends. So if we can work with other groups, then that's what we want to do, and it's not about territories, because I know some groups get very territorial. It is literally just about, I want to wear a proton pack and I want to see people smile, and that's kind of our ethos. Stay tuned. A card has just arrived and been printed on that one, so they'll be opening for trade soon. A brand new card for everyone to get, so that'd be cool.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That's what I'm most excited for is Ecto Squad and my fellow busters, just working with other busters, and just building on this community, you know, and making more friends and just having fun in the uniform.
Yeah, no, and that's great that, you know, again, you look at what you've been able to accomplish in doing this project, and, you know, without that, Ecto Squad probably would not be a thing. And, you know, it's cool to have that. So finally, for someone who is listening today and someone who's thinking, I want to be a part of this, what's the process for getting involved with the Ghostbusters Community Trading Card Project? And, you know, where can they go to learn more? Do they just need to message and reach out to the Green-Haired Ghostbuster over on social media?
Yeah, that's it. Just go to Instagram or Facebook, send me a message, and we'll go from there. I mean, it's really easy. It's free. I cannot, you know, state that enough. So many people come to me and say, how much is this going to cost me? It looks great, but it looks expensive. And you just say, well, no, it's just, you just got to pay to print your own card with your local printer, you know? That's all you got to pay. That's all. That's the only money involved, and it doesn't even come back to me. I have no affiliation with any printers that are doing these cards, so you can use whoever you want.
Yeah, and I think that was a question that I asked you is, you know, who are the majority of these people, you know, who are they using? You know, who's a good go-to? Because, you know, people may not, it's just something that they've never really delved into before, and they just may not have an idea of how the process goes. And that's one thing I noticed, too, is that when you provide the file, you upload it, and it sorts it out for you, the front and the back, for the most part. Like, there's no issue at all.
Yeah. And that's it, you know, and I will supply you with print ready PDF so that can be printed, but I also supply like JPEG files for your social medias and digital viewings because, yeah, the PDF will have things like cut marks and bleeds, all that stuff that printers will want, but you don't necessarily want to be putting that on social media.
Yeah, right.
Tidy.
Yeah, for sure, 100%.
Yeah, it's so simple. Just message me and I'll sort you out, whether it's for a group card or it's for... or an individual, because they have different stats. The group ones tend to promote the group and their charitable work, so rather than say favorite Ghostbuster or whatever, or say location, year, form, chosen charity, which I think is important, because I think everybody's very proud of the work they do, so being able to shine a light on their chosen charity as well, you know, quite nice.
Yeah, no, that is, it's great, and again, it's such a cool project, and I'm so glad that, you know, I'm a part of it now in the sense that I've got a card, and they're being printed, and as soon as I get them, I'm going to send some off to you, and
you.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's one other ask, and that's not a big ask, is that you just want to get some and put that out there. What, you did mention that they were going to go towards some, what was that?
Yes. So the plan is that I'm trying to build a few complete sets. So I can then start auctioning them for charities, like different charities. Obviously
nice.
PIPs, the One Ecto Squad supports, maybe, you know, Children's Hospice here in Northern Ireland as well, and various other places. But yeah, I want to auction some of these sets off, you know, as a whole, just because I think that's a fun way to do it as well. Because I know everyone's collecting, but I just thought, you know, a complete set would be a fun way to raise some money for good causes. And again, there's no one benefits from that except the charity involved. So
right,
that's the key for me, is that it's not about taking anything from the project. It's all about the project giving into the community and, if possible, with these auctions into good causes. So
no, that's incredible. I'm looking forward to it. And again, we'll also post links up to over at benchtestedpod.com. So if you're looking to get your trading card going, you want to go ahead, dress up, have a few photos. And look, if you want to make it look like you're shooting off a proton stream in your card, then by all means, you know, make it happen and send it over, and you'll get it on a card and it'll just be awesome. And then you can send it off and get it printed, and, you know, we'll have a few steps over there too that, you know, if you're curious on how to do that, I'll post it up over at benchtestedpod.com as well. So it'll be fun. Luke, the green-haired Ghostbuster, my friend, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for all the work you do, because I think your podcast is a great resource for gearheads like me and Photobusters who, you know, like the Dirt Farmers, when they came on, like that was great to hear the voice behind the name. So what you're doing is just as valuable to this community as the trading cards, I feel, because that it brings that life and that sort of, you know, experience.
Yeah. No,
accessible way.
I appreciate that. I mean, it is. It's been a lot of fun doing this. You know, we've had so many good people come on the show. You know, with just Nama K1 and Dustin Graw. Just had them on with GP Star, and then Sep, just like you mentioned, with Dirt Farmer Industries. Yeah, so many different guys and girls out there who wanted to come on, and yeah, we got many more on the way. So again, thank you so much. The green-haired Ghostbuster, my friends, check him out, benchtestedpod.com, and of course, find him over there on social media, and he'll get you all squared away and get you set up for your card. So it'll be a lot of fun. As we wrap things up, I think today's conversation highlights something that's easy to forget. When we build a proton pack, a trap, or even something as simple as a belt gizmo, we're usually focused on the finished product. We think about the paint, the electronics, the weathering, and getting every detail just right. But eventually, the build stops being about the build. It becomes the conversation somebody starts because they noticed your patch. It becomes the kid who asked if they could hold your trap. It becomes the person halfway across the world who recognizes your trading card, and suddenly you're talking like you've known each other for years. The gear gets us through the door. The people are the reason we stay. Luke's trading card project is just a reminder that this community isn't measured by how many props you own, how screen accurate your pack is. It's measured by the friendships we build, the knowledge we share, and the memories we create together. So whether you're printing your first pack, painting your 10th proton pack, or just putting on the flight suit for the first time, remember why you started. Build the things you're proud of. Share what you've learned. And never underestimate how something as simple as a conversation can grow into a worldwide community. Thanks for listening to Bench Tested. I'm Charlie Harsh, and I'll see you on the next episode.